Tonight I'm going to speak on the topic that I preached at the All Philippines, All Asia Creation Conference, and it was how to start a creation science campus evangelism ministry as we declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all people. Psalm 96:3 is our theme verse. So this conference was held in November in Kuala Lumpur. I went first to the Philippines with my wife Donna, and from Manila we flew to Kuala Lumpur and spoke there along with Ken Ham and the other speakers of Answers in Genesis. And the crowd started out about 500, but by the end of the conference it was over 1,000. Those were particularly people coming from the Malaysian area, which is a predominantly Muslim country, but a lot of hunger for foundational understanding by Christians. And we know of two young people that we were personally talking with who got saved at this. We met two tour guides, actually, on the pre-conference tour, and we praise God for that. Or one of them was saved, and the other one was given a lot to think about. So now, I was given the topic, how to start a creation ministry. And then I was asked to speak from our own experiences, so I told them, well, that's a good topic, but I will expand that and talk about how to start a creation science campus evangelism ministry, because I identified at the conference five different types of creation ministries that I know about. There's a national or regional creation science organization, and in the Northwest we have one like that, and I used to attend that all the time in Seattle or different places. And then there are creation clubs, like we have the Arcade Creation Club in Sacramento. And I'll be speaking there in a couple of months. And then another ministry is to be a creation apologetic speaker for churches and youth groups. And so I was doing that as we started out as missionaries, because actually I got saved through creation science myself. And so when I became a missionary, I thought, well, I need to share this with young people. That it was a young person who shared Christ to me through creation science campus evangelism. And so I'll show how that is later on. And so I was a creation apologetic speaker. And then speak at national church conferences. And so I did that as a missionary also. And I've heard national speakers. Ken Ham does that all over the country in various places, and we've heard Answers in Genesis seminars in a couple of cities. But then what I'm going to focus on, and what I focused on in this message in Kuala Lumpur for 1,000 delegates, was Creation Science Campus Evangelism Ministry. And the purpose of this particular ministry that we started was the passion that I had to evangelize students and educators, because it was a student who evangelized me and brought me to the Savior, who I acknowledged as the Creator and Lord. And so Creation Science Campus Evangelism introduces the Creator as Savior by refuting evolution. It's very important to tear down the strongholds of Satan, and what we do is to present the truths of science and history, because the author of science and history is God. And the Bible is the only science and history book in the whole world. It's not a science book per se, but it's full of science facts. It's not a history book per se, but it's full of science or history facts. But it is the only book that starts at the very beginning of the entire history of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it gives us a timeline of about 6,000 years ago, and He did it in 6 days. So in 1998, I had been kind of preaching these ideas around the country, and then God opened a new ministry through a national youth congress there, where I was asked to speak on experiencing God through nature. And so I did that, and as I did, and as I shared creation science principles, after the talks, many young people came up to me, and I was the speaker for a whole week. They'd come up to me afterwards, and maybe 10 or 20 each time, some of them would say, Reverend Layton, it's so good that you spoke here, because My faith has been destroyed by evolution and I was ready to leave the church. But now I have something to hold on to. And there were other students who would come up to me and say, Pastor Layton, it's so good that you're here because my parents have wanted me to study science and I love science, but I don't want to be contaminated by evolution and thinking we came from monkeys. But now I know that we didn't come from monkeys. We were created in God's image. And I understand that I can defend my faith, so I'm not afraid to do what my parents want me to do. And it's important for Filipino kids a lot of times to follow their parents' wishes. So in 1999, the next year, I was invited because of that conference to speak at one of the premier universities, the University of the Philippines, at a northern campus. And when I finished, and it was my first two-hour presentation using overhead slides and pretty much what we do today, refuting evolution and then explaining that God is the creator. And the head of the biology department, the kids you see here are biology students who sponsored this, and they were so excited to hear someone come and explain how God is the foundation, the author of science and history. And the head of the department said, Reverend Layton, we are praying that you will help us put God back into the science curriculum. And those words have never left my heart and my mind. It was so embedded. And so I've been around the country. We've spoken at hundreds of universities and high schools, and we'll give the statistics from our now director later on, but it was a two-hour seminar that we developed, and we'll teach it two or three times daily at the most. Usually I like to do it just once because it's exhausting, but 2 weeks each month in a region. We've gone around the country doing that, and what we do is, first of all, refute evolution and just explain why it's not good science. The truth about science and history comes from Genesis, and we lay that out. And then we explain that what the Bible, what the author of science and history says, is that it was 6 days about 6,000 years ago. And all of science facts can be explained by that rather than the millions and billions of years, which is just there to explain many, many years of death and suffering and decay before Adam sinned. Because Adam sinned about 6,000 years ago. And with Adam's sin, death came into the world. But if evolution is true, Adam did nothing new. And Christ had nothing to really die for. Because there was nothing new that happened when Adam sinned. And so it's very important to believe these Bible foundations. And then that the flood of Noah's day explains the fossil layers laid down all over the world, which then we can pinpoint in history is about 4,500 years ago, and then before that, going back about 6,000 years, according to chronologies of Genesis. And we can believe it. There are thousands of creation scientists all around the world and growing organizations like we started in the Philippines that believe that God created things just a few thousand years ago, not millions and billions. So we have PowerPoint and we'll travel. We started from Manila where we were living. We went to every major city. We spoke in every major university. We found it was just unlimited. Anytime somebody would invite me, I'd go. Or somebody would say, hey, there's a university here. Would you write to the heads? And so I did, and we'd get invited. Every major university in the Philippines, as far as we know. How to start a creation science campus evangelism ministry. So I have 7 points, and I'll start with number one, and then when we finish all seven, I'm going to see if I can apply it to each of us personally. But we entered into the unlimited open doors. So that's the key thing. We discovered it's just absolutely unlimited in the Philippines. See, the Lord says to the evangelistic church in Philippi, said, see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. And that's what we experience. An open door that's just unlimited, and nobody shuts it. There were a few times, and I'm going to explain that, when it was almost closed. One time we know where we were prevented initially. But the Lord enabled us. And here was the prayer of the early Christians in the book of Acts in chapter 4, when they were experiencing terrible persecution. They said, Lord, with this persecution that's upon us, enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. So as we experienced this open door, we also experienced persecution from those that didn't want us entering those open doors. But we entered all the more. We went into public high schools. We spoke in elementary schools whenever we were invited. And Catholic schools and other private schools. Lots of Christian schools, but our focus was on the unsaved. So there were audiences as large as the school's largest venue, like this one in a university where that's all they could hold. And so that's who we spoke to. Sometimes there were people outside the windows and just looking in and wanting to be a part of it. And oftentimes there were people of other faiths. There were Muslims, of course, and Hindus, and most of the population in the Philippines is Catholic. Most of them do not claim to be born-again Christians, but they consider themselves Christians. They've been catechized. They know that the Bible teaches something different than evolution that we came from apes, although the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, along with the mainline Protestant denominations around the world, teach that God used evolution. But people in the churches don't generally know that. People in the churches, if they've been touched by God and they've read a little bit of the Bible, they want more of it. And so this is what has happened. This was put together and presented by our Philippine National Director, who took over in 1999. So he has there, before he came on, I had spoken in 400 schools, and he did some of that with me to an overall attendance of 100,000. And 15,000 written professions of faith, which were followed up, as we'll show you, attempted to be followed up. And then he took over, and it was kind of a slow start at first. But then by his subtotal in 2000, since 2009, was that he spoke in 77 schools and about 20,000. And then he was training more and more evangelists as he went. And so these figures don't represent or don't also include those that his trained evangelists were winning to Christ. But then a grand total of about 500 schools and a large attendance in many, many professions of faith. And now he can account for 500 creation evangelists trained in the Philippines. And so what I appealed to those from 19 different countries all over Asia, I said, don't say it can't be done. Because don't say it can't be done in your country, because with God, all things are possible. And God has said that, or His angels said that, like to Mary and different people throughout the Bible. And religious countries like the Philippines are much more open and receptive than you may expect. And we found that as we launched out internationally. Because we found out that the unlimited open door extends to other places. We went to Thailand, we went to Singapore, we went to Hong Kong and Bangladesh, and I want to just give just a brief overview of some of the responses. In Thailand, I was asked to come first and speak to about 500 pastors and workers from all over Thailand, most of them who could not speak any English, and then they had been trained or they had been discipled by Filipinos who came there from the Philippines. Our association is called the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. Their association is called the Philippine Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, and they went to Thailand. And then they started another organization called the Thai Association of Baptists for World Evangelism that's going into the neighboring closed countries. But in this country, in Thailand, as a response of this, in response to these pastors and workers, I spoke at this group of 500 people from the churches who had come to the churches, most of them unsaved, to learn English from these Filipino missionaries who speak English as well as Filipino dialects. And so for a whole week, I had a Thai interpreter who helped me translate our refuting evolution and declaring who God is. And these Thai people, about over 100 of them, of the 500, responded by making professions of Christ. And after this conference, or this camp, they called it, many of them traveled hundreds of miles to find a church where they could hear the Bible, a church that was planted by these Filipino Filipino evangelists there and church planters. So then we also, Victor, my Philippine director, and I went into universities. We went into private schools. We went into public schools and just found an unbelievable, fantastic open door there. Oh, I also spoke in Thailand on national TV in a university where we presented about dinosaurs, the dinosaurs in the Bible, and just relating this to their culture, that the dinosaurs were probably the dragons of old. And oh, the Thai people just love that. In Bangladesh also, in 2007, I spoke in Hindu churches, or Hindu community churches, and also Muslim community churches. In the Hindu churches, former Hindus who are now believers, we'd sit on the floor and they have different musical instruments, but we presented, starting also usually with the dinosaurs, and then speaking in William Carey Academy in one of the major cities. And many of these students, we weren't allowed to openly evangelize them because of the school policies, but many of them told us that they really wanted to become Christians and they were preparing to study in America, and now many of them have come back, and we want to connect up with them. In Hong Kong, I spoke at a theological college, at International Christian School twice, and at two churches on different occasions. And so we entered into the unlimited open doors, which I believe are worldwide. Now, what we do as we enter those doors is to proclaim the absolute authority of Scripture. God's Word is absolute. It is the foundational issue that we have to believe God's Word and its authority. And believing that the Bible, God's Holy Word, is absolutely trustworthy and without error. Amen? There's more to it. Without error from the very first verse. And that's where many, many churches and church people are falling down because they don't get that from their pastors. And so, Answers in Genesis is holding pastors' conferences, and the word is going around and getting out that the absolute authority of God's word is key, because here, Genesis is foundational to the gospel, because the foundational knowledge of the gospel is that Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, is the creator of the universe. He created all things. All things were made through him. And he created Adam without sin. And when sin came into the world through Adam, that's when death came into the world that we need a Savior for. And Genesis says that was about 6,000 years ago. Jesus Christ was crucified and then he rose from the dead to die for the sins brought into the world through Adam that we all are guilty of. And then the hope is that that Creator who became our Savior is coming again to restore all things to their original perfection, and we will live with Him forever and ever. Amen? And isn't that a hope that we want kids to know? And the hope needs to be established through the truths, the true teachings of science and history. And it has to be based on the Word of God, because all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And if the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's the key thing. If the foundation of all other Scripture, the gospel and everything else, is being destroyed and undermined by children, our children in our churches hearing day after day that there was this long process of millions of years of death and decay and suffering before death came into the world through Adam that Jesus died for. That's not a good message. And it's not true. I want to just share that I got this message through my family heritage. My grandfather, Pastor Phil's great-grandfather, was a medical missionary in Africa. And I learned through his experiences that God is a sovereign, powerful God who saved people. Hundreds of people in the tribes there where these pioneer missionaries went. And then I had a woman we called Grandma Sims as a child when I was about 10 years old who taught me Genesis 1, the 6 days of creation. And she went through those and how on day one, God created the light. He didn't create the sun or the rest of the universe, just the earth and light. And on day two, He created an atmosphere. He divided the waters above and below and created the atmosphere, providing a place for life to be. And then on day three, He raised up the dry land and created plants and things. And then on day four, He created the sun, moon, and stars after He had already created light. And so He's attaching the light to these objects. And on day five, He created sea creatures and birds. And on day six, He created land animals and man. And I had that in my heart. I loved that account. And I also learned from her Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And I'm going to share how that came into play a little bit later on. But when my father went to medical school, he told me later, after I asked him, you know, why don't you have the same faith as your father? Or other people asked about that. And he told me that when he went to medical school, he lost his faith in God because he found out that we're all animals. We came from pond scum and everything. And so I struggled with that. And as a Bible believer, as a child, I was influenced by the secular media and education. And in spite of faithful Sunday school attendance during my childhood, that failed to equip me with answers about my origins. I just didn't have any answers of how Genesis could be true instead of this story that I was hearing in the secular media. And so I became evolutionized. And as we shared the book by Ken Ham and Beamer, the Beamer Report, and Already Gone, I became one of those young people who wanted to believe the Bible, but I was already gone from church. Don and I met and got married by God's sovereign leading us together because His angels were watching over us. We were the elect. We weren't saved yet, but we were brought to a place in our life. 1973, I was teaching 7th grade, and this girl, Teresa Brunk, came to me with a book on creation science and said, "Mr. Layton, you don't have to believe in evolution." She gave me that book. I read that book, and within a few days, as I read Dr. Duane Gish, "Evolution, the Fossils Say No," I just realized that in that book, and we should make that available to the young people, it shows that there is no basis for dating the world in millions and billions of years with the fossils. The fossils more clearly point to a worldwide flood where they were all mostly buried at once. And so I read this book by Dr. Duane Gish, and it convinced me. I came to Christ, and I learned that there are so many creation scientists. I wanted to be a creation scientist also. And God saved me and gave me an unquenchable desire to just study and then share this with the many books that are available through Institute for Creation Research and also in Answers in Genesis Ministries. It doesn't take a PhD. I don't have a PhD. It's an honorary doctorate given to me because of the work that I did as a missionary in the Philippines. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of men. Amen? Word of God is absolutely powerful. It is absolutely authoritative. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. And so, we enter the unlimited door. We proclaim the authority of Scripture and we make known the unknown God. The Apostle Paul did this in Athens where he came and his team wasn't with him. And he was overwhelmed by the idolatry there. And so his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was completely given over to idols. And then he found a place, a public place, where he could preach. And he said to the men of Athens, "I perceive that you're all very religious." He didn't put them down. He said, I see that you're not just superstitious, but very religious. "For I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God." And so he had looked for something, he found something, and then he declared it. He declared that the unknown God is the creator of the entire universe. And he doesn't live in temples. He doesn't live in shrines. He doesn't have to be fed. And so we do the same thing by presenting creation science, showing them that the facts for evolution are not as strong as the facts for a creator. This creation science I define as the scientific model held by a growing number of scientists that the intelligent design observed in all natural phenomena is best attributed to the creator, who has revealed himself and his works with historical and scientific accuracy in the Bible. We stand by that because it has led thousands and thousands to Christ all over the Philippines. We present this free of charge. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. It's a ministry. We're not selling books for profits. Sometimes books are sold for non-profit. And so make known the unknown God. And then it's very important to equip and enlist the saints, because I said there were some times when we did get prevented, first off, from going into a certain university. In fact, several places around the country. And it was always somebody from one of our fundamental churches where I hadn't spoken yet. And they were just, as faculty, they were terrified that somebody from their same kind of a church was going to speak on something that they were teaching against. They were teaching evolution in the classrooms. And so they'd try to keep me out. And so we found it was very important to go first to the churches. The starting point is local churches with what we dubbed as Creation Science Sundays, where every part of the Sunday, the services, if there's more than one, and the Sunday school, and then an evening evangelistic service maybe, and sometimes a midweek service, are all about creation science and apologetics principles. And so 1 Peter 3:15 says this, that sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts and always be ready to make a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Let with gentleness and reverence. It's a reverential fear. There needs to be a respect for God's word, and that conveyed. There also needs to be a respect for people who don't believe it, and to keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Now, so we are preparing them for some persecution, because the church people then will go out and help with the counseling. And sometimes they'll be exposed to me being persecuted in some way. And, you know, we can't... The problem is, when I got saved, I was a teacher. And I just told God, I said, I'm hearing about all these teachers, like an English teacher in New York, and then another a science teacher someplace else. At that time when I got saved, they were being taken to court for teaching religion in the classroom. Phony lawsuits. And I said, well, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll continue preparing to get my master's in science education and stick with this. But now I found that so many teachers are scared to death to do what they can do legally because they're afraid that somebody will do something to get them fired. Well, okay, if that's the truth, I have known that has happened to some various professors that I've talked to. But they found a better job. There's one at Master's College who's ended up there, and he just loves it, and he's much happier than in a secular school. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted those prophets who went before you. So this is something we need to rejoice in. We don't bring it on ourselves, but we're ready when it happens. And 2 Timothy 3:12 says, okay, in fact, everyone who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So I tell these teachers and the students, hey, if you're not being persecuted by your students, look at Teresa Brunk, who won me to the Lord. After she did that and I became a Christian, there was a time when she was having a Bible study out under a tree on campus, and there were some atheist students, probably prompted by somebody, I don't know who, an adult, who started throwing rocks at her and the group. And the principal had to stop it. The principal was a Christian, and the principal took action to tell the parents, we're not going to tolerate this kind of nonsense and intolerance. We're not going to tolerate intolerance. And so that is one of the positions that Christians have to take. Local pastors then helped with the follow-up. And so I know that the pastors need to help this thing of fear of coming into Christ and coming into believing creation science there in Bangladesh. Two of the students asked us, you know, Pastor and Mrs. Layton, we're going to go to college in the States. Are we going to be persecuted more because we're Muslims, and they were at that time, or because we've come to believe in creation science through your seminar? And we said, you're going to be persecuted more because of creation science. And I'm really looking forward to seeing those again. There's no fear in love. And pastors need to be teaching this. But perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. And one night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. You know what that means? That means that Jesus Christ is concerned that we don't stop talking about this, because He has people like I was, who are unsaved, who God is working in to get them saved, and they're going to get saved, and He wants you to talk to them. Amen? Those people like me are called the elect. And that is the passion of Jesus Christ, is reaching those who are unsaved. And here's something that Pastor Phil sent me, a survey by Lifeway Research. The pastors have really, I think, gotten more on board. I want to just look at the bottom line on each of those charts. Among Protestant pastors, I believe Adam and Eve were literal people. And the majority, a strong majority, 74%, strongly agree with that. And then, secondly, I believe God used evolution to create people. A strong majority, 64%, said, no, that's not true. They strongly disagree. And then, I believe the earth is approximately 6,000 years. Well, that's kind of split between yes and no. And that's why it's important to get the understanding of what the genealogies of Genesis say. It's important. Because if there's more than 6,000 years, then there has to be all this time for death and suffering before Adam and before the world came to sin. So we established a ministry headquarters where we could have a resource center and all these books, and we need to be doing this here too, and getting the word out so that saints can be trained just as they are. We're having high school and junior high right now are doing apologetics training in various ways, and all of the teaching and preaching has really focused on that to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And we praise God for the pastor of this church who has preached through Genesis 12 now, right? Or beyond that. So, equipping and enlisting the saints, and schedule by divine appointments. And I have a divine appointment to stop pretty soon, so I've got to go quickly. Church members introduced me to people of influence. And oftentimes it was the highest authority in a school, and I would go to that person. Student organizations like were pictured before. And so we would schedule by divine appointments, which means praying and having God lead us to open doors, lead to open hearts. And believe me, in this country, I have been in places, we have been in some school districts or churches in school districts where there's one I think of right away where the principal and the superintendent are both strong Bible-believing Christians, and they're able to do all kinds of creation club or apologetics clubs, Bible clubs, and different things by divine appointments. Train teams of creation evangelists. I've seen that in our earlier slides, but our first training was called Cassetti, and we used that acronym, Training Creation Science Evangelism Training Institute. And so Cassetti sounds like SETI, like the project looking for life in outer space. And we can say, well, we found him. There is a higher intelligence, and we need to bow to him. So the first one was 16 pastors and workers, and they were marine biologists, research scientists, physics teachers, two BS forestry, 2 BS biology, 3 engineers, and we got the impression from these guys, hey, we've got to be looking for people interested in science. These are pastors and workers with a real interest in that. One of those I contacted was a research scientist at a large university by the name of Victor De Paz, and he has become our Philippines director. He's just dynamic. He has all kinds of PhD friends, and he has developed with some of these men and others, a couple of businessmen, he's put together a Creation Science Resources Asia Foundation, which is an organization now that can support him and the work as it goes out. One of his colleagues there at his university was from the University of the Philippines. He had graduated in PhD in marine biology, and I just love this guy. June is his name on the left there. But he said, I can do this at the school, which is considered the strongest bunch of atheist professors of anywhere in the Philippines. Well, he found out that in the science department alone, there were 6 born-again Christian professors who were just thrilled to have this guy come back and lead them in presenting creation science to their entire departments. And they got them all together, and then the result was training those 6 and others as creation science evangelists. And then the church team of our church gives local seminars, and they also travel around. This is Pastor Jan Digno of the Doan Baptist Church, which is our headquarters, to new groups of training new groups of creation science evangelists, and then those trained groups of evangelists take over the ministry in their locations. And one of those guys that Victor, our director, trained, he was in Indonesia just the month before we had that All Asia Creation Conference in Malaysia, which is the adjoining country. But he spoke to this Batak tribe in a university setting, the students in the capital of northern Sumatra, and he had with him a scientist, science researcher, agricultural missions, who was so excited to learn to be a presenter also, and he is going on to do that. Thomas is his name. So after training teams of creation evangelists, we have to answer the last day scoffers. And you know, here in this church, I reported on my trip last November of last year, where I spoke against some in a Christian school who were scoffing at the idea of a young earth. And so I'm going to just present that as our last thing. But first of all, I want to look at these 7 things. Are there some open doors, maybe, that you're not aware of that you can pray for? You know, there's people you can talk with about the foundations, and can you proclaim the authority of Scripture? That just say, you know, that God says the world is young. God says He created everything in 6 days, and just not so long ago, millions of years. Can you make known the unknown God? Present Jesus as the answer to those who are struggling with evolution thinking. No, it says that God, Jesus, through Him, everything was created. Everything was made. It wasn't made from other things or other kinds, but God said He made mankind in His own image. He made man from dust, not from a monkey. He made all the animals from the dust and made them their own kinds, and so on. Can we equip and enlist the saints, Sunday school teachers? That's happening here. You can encourage one another. And schedule divine appointments. That means to pray for opportunities to witness and to share whatever. Train teams of creation evangelists. Well, one idea I have. What if you came on a missions trip and had Victor, young people in particular, maybe a college group or someone from this group, from this church, Victor and the Philippines team would love to have you and take you to these seminars. Pastor Phil came on a missions trip, and they didn't have that in mind, but it happened, didn't it? It just happened that we were in a university where we had a very large and very wonderful group, a 2-hour symposium where Pastor Phil and his group from Grace Community Church were able to experience that. So, I want to just mention, I spoke to these two men, and both of them, one taught that was teaching students in the Christian school that God didn't use evolution, just evolution is how it happened. He said, forget about God when it comes to origins. That's the guy on the left. Guy on the right was saying, well, God didn't use evolution, but it took him millions of years, even longer than evolution would have taken because God is so complex. And so I had to kind of gently give answers to them. And so I did. I gave some of the things that I've shared already, and then at the end I shared 2 Peter 3. And I want to take you now through the end of our symposium, which I shared there at this Christian school. I just thought they need to hear this, that first of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They deliberately forget that long ago by God's word the heavens existed. And these guys were both saying there was a big bang. It wasn't just by God's word. And I pointed out that, hey, it was formed by water, out of water and by water, not from an explosion. And that kind of stumped the one guy. He got to thinking about it. The one who said it took millions of years. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. So God created everything out of water and then He destroyed it all by water. And then it goes on to say, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And who are the ungodly men He's talking about? He's talking about those scoffers who scoff what the Bible says, that everything was created from water and by water. And that there was a worldwide flood that buried the fossils that we see today. There's fire waiting for them. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. That's the big bang. It's still coming. When the elements shall melt with a fervent heat and the earth itself shall be burned up. And so, what do we do about that? We all will die. It's appointed for all men once to die, and after death the judgment, because as in Adam all die, the first Adam, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Jesus Christ is the last Adam. One of those men that I was refuting was saying that, hey, there was no, Adam is not a real person. Therefore, Christ couldn't be the last Adam. Adam was just kind of figurative. But when he was nailed down, he said, well, if there was an Adam, he would have lived millions of years ago, and he wasn't created, or he didn't come into existence the same time that Eve did. So that was kind of a problem. They get mixed up. People have been dying for 6,000 years, and God's judgment is upon them. But God has provided the solution for this. 6,000 years ago in the beginning was the Word. Everything was made by the Word of God. 2,000 years ago that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The Creator became our Savior. And someday, soon He will return to restore His creation. In keeping with His promise, 2 Peter 3:13 says, we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. If Christ returned today to restore His creation, would you be ready? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, because everybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who is the Lord? The Lord is the Creator of heavens and earth. The Lord is the absolute authority. His Word is absolutely true and must be the foundation of science and history. That's who the Lord is. That's who we believe in. And we are saved by that. We're in a spiritual war. The war zone is there in the minds of our youth. But Jesus says this to each one of you. Remember the personal challenge that I led you in. He said, I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Everybody, this issue of our origins is a powerful tool of Satan in the world, in the media and education. And Christians need to take a stand and be persecuted if that's what it's going to take. Amen? Because What about the Apostle Paul? What happened to him? He got stoned. He got shipwrecked. They thought he had killed him many times. Well, 2 Corinthians 10 will end with this. The weapons that we fight with have divine power to demolish those strongholds, arguments, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let's pray and commit the message to our Savior. Father, we thank You for the knowledge that Jesus Christ has revealed Your plan, Your purpose, and everything that leads to godliness as we come to Him and come to You through Him by faith and by the Holy Spirit quickening our hearts and bringing us into the family of God. And Lord, You are sending each one of us to others who need to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I pray for Your boldness as the first Christians prayed in Jerusalem for that You would give them boldness to speak the Word of God. And as Jesus told the Apostle Paul later on, do not stop speaking, do not be afraid, for I have many people who still need to come to Christ. Let us be active, even facing persecution if needed, for the glory of God, our Lord and Savior. Amen.